Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Tracker. Tracker makes losing things a thing of the past. Pair Tracker to your smartphone, attach it to any item, and find its precise location with the tap of a button. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter promo code AAA for 30% off your entire order. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 277, recorded on Tuesday, August 2nd, 2016. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Poof! Last week you did it the same way, and I don't know, there's something very, you know what I've realized? There's something very majestic about your name.
Thank you.
Florence Ion. Like, that. it flows, so to speak.
That was unintentional.
But it's true. It does.
Thank you, Jason.
Yes. There you go. Joining us today is the return, the triumphant return from down under, Daniel Tyson of OzDroid.net. How's it going, Daniel?
Excellent. It's a very good morning here in Australia, so we're a little bit in the future. So yeah.
Daniel, great, is it true that the water goes counterclockwise down under?
The Coriolis effect. Unfortunately not. It goes the same way.
Oh, well, there you go, everyone. Oh,
shattered by reality.
Today I learned.
Let us believe an episode of The Simpsons. Come on.
Oh, the rest of that episode is true. You get the big boot. We'll boot you and everything like that. But yeah,
right, unfortunately the top. No. So you're saying we can still trust Simpsons mostly?
Mostly.
Okay.
Exactly right.
I'll take that. Hey, Daniel, you know what I realized? Last time you were here and you came on the show, you brought these. Show them to my overhead camera here.
Minties. What are those?
Minties.
You haven't opened them.
I realized. I'm ashamed to admit I have not opened them, so I thought we'd open them right now.
Yay!
These are Minties. These are, it says, it's moments like these you need Minties.
And what this is actually. What does that mean? What moments like those do you need Minties?
Like right
for?
Now when you're starting a show and you're just in the intro.
Never mind the best before date, because that's my fault because I didn't open it before today.
I'll
March,
do it with you.
So March 2016.
We'll endure this together.
But this is a Nestle product. And I've been meaning to check it out. I really have. They got buried. So here's
a warning, they are quite chewy.
This should be fun. Here, you go ahead and try.
All right. Oh, they're kind of hard.
Yeah.
Are they supposed to be hard?
They're chewy, so as soon as you start chewing them, they'll get softer.
This could be disastrous, actually.
It also says on the wrapper, it's moments like these you need.
That's right.
Ooh. What are those moments?
There's quite little decent cartoons on each of the wrappers. It's just sort of just a fun way of saying anytime.
a little cheeky. Jason, careful! Don't break a tooth.
It kind of felt like I might.
It tastes like a candy cane.
Yeah.
Mm. Very minty, chewy.
Extremely minty.
Very chewy, but not like gooey chewy. Like stick to your teeth.
Mine can hardly bite through it. I'm actually afraid to bite down right now.
I thought I was going to break a tooth. Are you sure these don't solidify over time? Like, the best before date might actually be something that we should respect.
No, they're sort of, really, they'll last a long time. I've had them for quite a while. You sort of eat them on car trips, long road trips. They go quite well in a warm car. They warm up a little bit. They get a bit softer.
Mm. So those cold moments involve driving places.
Okay.
Moments like these, when you're driving 400 miles.
That's just when you've got time to kill.
Or moments like you're giving up a bad habit and you're like, I just put a mingy in my mouth and suck it for the next 3 hours.
Moments like these when you really want a cigarette. Moments like these are for Minties. I like the flavor. I don't care for the consistency.
I actually like the flavor too. It's a pretty good mint, but I'm afraid to bite down still, so I don't think that's happening.
It really is kind of like a
little bit more.
Dr. Morbius in chat says, is it like a stale candy cane?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Yes.
I guess for lack of a better, which is not to say that it's bad, and I appreciate this, and I'm going to make sure that everyone here at the Twit Studio eats one of these Minties. I'm going to watch them as they chew it for an hour.
I am.
That's awkward.
Alex, in fact, is standing right here. Alex, your mentees. Thank you. There we go. Okay. Good. That's one less person.
I like, Jason, I like the idea of you setting up one-on-one meetings with everyone at Twit and watching them eat a Minties.
It's like
So these are like mint Tootsie Rolls. That's how I would. Because you know Tootsie Rolls, they get kind of hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. Maybe a little bit. Okay.
I'm not going to finish this.
Well, it's on the other side of the...
Didn't quite reach.
Oh, here we go. Okay. It looks very interesting when it comes out of your mouth.
Oh, man. You guys are killing me tonight. I'm biting my tongue like for the past 5 minutes.
It's like... I am too, actually, because I'm trying to chew through it.
For different reasons. Different reasons.
I like the flavor, though. It was good.
Thank you for bringing those more than a year ago, Daniel. Sorry it took me this long to eat them. But I ate all of your other delicious desserts.
We will also send you a year-old saltwater taffy just to make up for it.
You're welcome.
I have tried saltwater taffy.
I love saltwater taffy.
I know, me too. You want to get some right now?
Not right now. Okay, after the show.
After the show.
We've got things to talk about.
Yes, we do.
That have nothing to do with saltwater taffy. We've got the unveiling of the Samsung Galaxy Note 7. The release of Nougat or Nougat might be imminent. The LG V20 might ship with Nougat or Nougat even before any new Nexus device ships. That's interesting. A revised Nexus launcher. And so much more. But Josh, I hope you didn't just take a bite of the minty, because you're going to be expected to talk in this bumper for Android News.
Samsung skipped over the Note 6, so I'm probably going to skip by on that one. But I won't be skipping Android News!
I can't tell if he actually had a minty in his mouth or not.
Were you?
Whoops. Okay. I got a minty.
Yes, he did.
I do.
He does.
I'm pretty distracted over here.
I didn't know if it was a bit or not.
Nope.
Very good job. You went with the thing we were just talking about. That's how you do it, Josh. You don't have to think about it all day long.
I was thinking about it all day long.
I know. We all know Josh Windich well enough to know that he does think about these things all day long. Okay, so let's talk about this here. Evan Blass, a.k.a. Eb Leaks, made Nexus
friend
owners...
Friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show. It was on not too long ago. Made Nexus owners happy by stating on Twitter that he believes, his sources, I'm assuming, believe that Android Nougat will be released with this month's security update on August 5th.
Friday.
Which is just a couple of days away. Google actually... What's that?
Sorry, a couple days. I'm
Yeah, a few days. I know. You're getting really excited.
I'm... Also, secretly freaking out because of all the
baggage all that comes with
that
a new version and all the work that would have to happen. Google's already teased the August 5th security update, but they have not made any mention of Nougat at this point, which you kind of understand. Daniel, you wrote the article for OzDroid about this. Tell us what happened with the Redditor that got a surprise update on his phone.
Yeah, that was quite cool. One of the Redditors actually went to unenroll his device from the beta program. He was having some issues with his phone, so he, instead of an update back to Marshmallow, he got a looks like a fairly stable dog food release of a release candidate version of Nougat. So it's got a different build date and everything. So that does actually have the 5th of August security patch and... Yeah, adding a little bit of credence there. So quite interesting.
And you're pronouncing it Nougat.
Was it Nougat or was Nougat. It Nougat? I thought I heard Nougat.
Nougat.
Nougat. Nougat. Okay. All right. So there's no T. Hard to
say Nougat.
This is an interesting.
Listen, we've been having an email thread going on about this, everyone. We're just not sure of how to.
Listen. We're received. Americans, so if there's a letter, we're going to pronounce it.
It's true. It's not herb. Wait, no, it's herb. Anyway, that doesn't matter. What does matter
don't look.
Is that possibly this Friday, Android 7.0 might hit our phones, Nexus devices.
Yep.
Are you prepared out there in Android land is a question that I have for those of you who are watching and listening right now.
tell us, AAA at twit.tv. I wish you could tell us now, but we don't have.
I'm really curious if you're prepared. Have you backed up your stuff just in case?
Oh, that kind of prepared. I thought you were just like.
Have you cleaned your smartphone?
Do you need to do that level of preparation? Like, should you be backing up before you install that update?
Like having a new baby, you got to do some preparation for it. You know, kind of ring in the new operating system.
But this isn't the beta. This is a standard release, so it should be safe enough for you
It's true. Right? I just want to remind everybody out there to back up stuff.
Many Nexus 9 owners assumed that the security updates were, there was nothing to worry about there, and then their Nexus 9s got destroyed.
I know that feeling, because I had to rebuild mine.
Exactly, but, yeah. So did I. That doesn't always work.
Yeah. Have you guys considered getting new tablets?
Not yet. I'm holding on. I'm holding on for dear life. I've got it right here. I am not giving up. I'm not giving up this tablet.
Oh my gosh, it's still in the Moleskine.
I love it.
Folio.
It's great. It's the best tablet I've ever owned, and it's very bright. But that only happened once. It was fine. I rebuilt it. But I would imagine that when Android 7 rolls out, that hopefully it is a safe and drama-free rollout. Of course, I'm not on a Nexus device anymore, so I don't know when Nextbit will roll it out to me. So I'm going to have my first experience of operating system update envy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to assume, going to be getting it, because if you were still on your Nexus 5,
I wouldn't be getting it at all.
You'd be
completely. The Nexus 5 is old. At this point, it's really old.
I don't argue that decision to not roll it out to the Nexus 5 because it is old. That makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
That device is no longer supported or sold by Google. You can get it for a cheap price if you're looking for a phone to develop on. But I think, as much as I love that phone's time is over.
Yeah. So, speaking of devices, then there's the Nexus devices, basically, which normally are historically tied to the release of the next version. If this next version is coming out in a few days, we've heard nothing about new Nexus devices. So that's a little bit different. To this point, they haven't been announced yet, so we don't really know. But LG just announced that its new phone, the V20, will be the first, they say, hardware to ship with Nougat, which means it will beat the new Nexus crop to market with Nougat. Yeah. And that's shipping in September. So if they're able to say that they are the first hardware to hit with Nougat pre-installed, that potentially tells us that any new Nexus devices aren't going to come until afterwards, which at this point, all we know is September.
Potentially.
Right. Potentially.
Potentially.
Exactly. So then I guess that begs the question, Daniel, is it a big deal that this is that, you know, Nexus users are so used that we're so like used to having these things that are just for us or that we're the first or whatever the case may be. Is this a big change or is this not really a big deal in the long run? What do you think?
If it actually does that, it's a massive change. Out of the box is sort of the term they use. So we've then still got the Nexus 6P, Nexus 9, et cetera, then Nexus 5X, all could get an over-the-air update. So they could actually get the Android 7.0 first, and then it's simply just the first one shipping. So whether they get the HTC or the rumored HTC Nexuses out the door, I don't know, maybe September.
Yeah.
Could be around the same time. We never know. We're sort of hearing early October maybe for the HTC Nexuses. We'll sort of see how we go on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, massive change if they actually do it, if they let a third-party vendor actually get ahead of the Nexus program. I mean, that's always been why people buy Nexus. I mean, it's just that's why I sort of get into Nexus.
Sure.
But is that something that they could stop? I mean, is this purely a byproduct of, you know, just the way the chips have fallen with the product rollouts? You know, LG's phone is ready to go and Google hasn't made the new Nexus announcements. You know, like I agree it would be the first time we've ever seen anything like this, but I see it less as strategic and more as just happenstance.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a good point.
I'm sort of okay with it, actually. I mean, we went super early with the beta, with the dev preview. So it's at that point where it's basically what Google wants to happen. Vendors are picking up a new version of Android super fast and getting it out the door. Yeah. So if we can see maybe Samsung update the Note 7 or something. Yeah, we'll get to that later. But yeah, that's sort of what Google wants. They want people to actually have the latest version of Android. It'll make those distribution numbers every month look even better if there's more phones out there running the latest version.
That's a really good point.
Daniel's right. That's exactly why they did this whole beta program. But of course, that's not going to, you know, just because LG is going to be like maybe one of the first phones that's shipping with it doesn't mean that their version of Nougat is going to be, you know, very swallowable.
Very nougaty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Swallowable.
Chewy. You know. Chewy enough.
It might be stale.
It might stick to your teeth.
It might, you know, or my breaker teeth because it's too hard or something.
True, it might. But this is nougat we're talking about, not Minties. So
yes, but this is, you know, LG we're talking about.
Okay,
so.
That's right. Touché.
<Me. laughs>
All right, what do we have next here? Oh, Florida.
Well, you will now get a notification on your Android device when a device is added to your Google account, which is great if you're a multi-device person. This new security feature for Android will show you a notification on all of your devices, letting you know that a new device was added to your account. That notification, you can review it, review the activity, see if it's legitimate, and then if it's not legitimate, if it's suspicious, you can go take care of that via Google. So it's kind of a nice just little extra layer of security, especially since I feel like being an Android user is all about like having, you know, a multi-device life.
And, yeah.
And this is the kind of thing where I was like, oh, it didn't do this? Like once I realized that they weren't doing this, I was completely shocked because, you know, they've done so much work on the account side of your Google accounts and looking at your devices and seeing when the last one was used and all that stuff. That stuff's been there for ages. And so I was actually, it was a moment where I was like, oh yeah, they should be doing this. So I'm glad that it's happening.
So right now, whenever I sign on a new phone, if I'm like reviewing it or whatever, it, you know, I'll get an email across all devices in my Gmail that says, you've signed a new, you know, sign on a new phone. But this one actually lets you lock it out and secure the account with just like one tap.
Yeah, and you don't have to wait for the time you check your email to notice that, oh, somebody signed in 2 hours ago and do all whatever. This
stuff. Yeah.
Just appears
easier,
right there.
Easier security access.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's very nice.
Good. That's a nice.
GG. Good going.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I should say GGG. Good going, Google.
Hmm.
All right. Like that. Well, let's keep those G's going with a little feedback from the community over at Google Plus, the All About Android community, which is alive and vibrant and some of my favorite people there. And actually, Benny Spensieri Jr. wrote in and said that in episode 276, everybody was pitching theories as to why Cyanogen is losing money and why we're not hearing more about them. Did we all forget why OnePlus no longer works with them? Remember how Cyanogen made an exclusive deal with Micromas, even without
Micromax.
Sorry. Yeah. Without even notifying OnePlus that they were doing so, then OnePlus had to reconfigure their OS because they could no longer ship phones to India with Cyanogen on them. This directly led to the creation of Oxygen OS. Since they kind of screwed over the first company that took a chance on them, I'm not surprised that everyone else is giving Cyanogen the cold shoulder. I certainly wouldn't want to work with them, which is a valid point. And I feel like we mentioned that, but briefly, we probably didn't go into as much detail as Benny would have liked for that. But I always chalk that up to that was growing pains, and I mean, it was a huge mistake and a huge problem, and it killed that relationship. But I didn't interpret that as being, this is what it's like to work with Cyanogen. But then again, I had zero involvement in that dealing whatsoever, so what do I know? So maybe Benny has a point. Maybe they shot themselves in the foot and it's been damaging them for too long.
Yeah, I don't
know. Well, they've been trying to kill Android for how long now?
Yeah. Put a bullet in Android's head.
Put a bullet in Android's basically. Head for how long now? I mean, when you say that kind of stuff, it's, you know, there's a personality behind those kind of statements.
Sure.
So,
yeah, I mean, how
just
much?
Saying, I'm not entirely surprised if, you know, Benny's comments happen to be
accurate.
Valid. Yes.
I mean, how much credence do you think when a new company comes out of the gate, let's say, and they strike a deal that had a lot of eyeballs on it? Obviously, it was with, you know, another new company, OnePlus, but it was definitely, you know, the relationship was talked about a lot, at least in the industry, in the Android sphere. Mm-hmm. When that relationship goes sour, and it seems to be the result of one versus the other. I mean, Daniel, do you think that has the potential to really make things much more difficult in the hardware, let's say the hardware and OS world? I mean, does it work that way, the way it works in other facets?
I think it's certainly damaged what they were intending to do with working with a lot of different vendors, especially at the sort of scale that they were wanting to do.
Yeah.
I think they've still got some stuff coming down the pipe that sort of a lot of people will be surprised about. And Kurt McMaster certainly got a lot of headlines and press for was a very new company at the time, and it certainly achieved that. Whether maybe they do better under someone else, not quite as divisive. That's sort of one of the things that Cyanogen is going to have to actually look at in the long run. But they've still got the name out there. They're a very favourite sort of ROM on the third-party side. So whether that translates into the business side of things is something that they're really going to have to sort of play on and work out as they go. So I think it's just, yeah, one of those things that we're going to have to wait and see. But, yeah, yep. Kurt knows how to grab a headline.
I just really want to see, like, Microsoft, like, scoop them up in a, like, nice little comfortable little baby basket. Cyanogen,
come on.
Like, give them a little, you know, R&R and just be like, let us help you. Let us help you.
It's okay, Cyanogen.
Because can you imagine, like, if Microsoft came back and was like, we're back, y'all! And then they had, like, you know, Cyanogen be like, oh, I don't know, I just...
I could kind of see it.
You know, wouldn't that be see, like, Microsoft's like, you all thought we couldn't do anything with Windows, but we'll show you.
Yeah.
I said it last week that I thought that, you know, Microsoft was the best kind of corporate parent to acquire Cyanogen.
Yeah.
And the fact that it hasn't happened, maybe, you know, who knows me if they talked, if they did due diligence and they walked away or whatnot. Yeah. But, you know, I don't see anybody else really getting in the game unless a BlackBerry kind of stepped in. But I don't think, but BlackBerry needs to. And yeah, so.
Quit your snickering.
I'm sorry, snickered.
Was it the word BlackBerry that made you laugh?
It did. Maybe Microsoft should just scoop up every, like, failing.
Yeah.
All of operating them, system and
all of them together,
smartphone
that's
company.
Quite an army.
I mean, they got a lot of money.
Yeah, sure.
So.
Hey, and it's worked in other facets of what they're doing. So let's take a quick break. We're going to thank a sponsor right now. That is Tracker. You've got all sorts of smart things in your life. You've got a smart home. I know your home is filled with all sorts of smart devices, right? Well, maybe it's getting there. Smart cars, smart phones. We've all got smartphones. That's why we watch this show. Technology's made everything smart. But then you go ahead and lose something, and then you feel not smart at all. And that's what the Tracker solves here. It makes losing things a thing of the past. You can literally put these things anywhere. I've got one in my backpack. If you've got a pet, you can put it on the pet's collar so you can track your pet. All sorts of things. If you're a, you know, a person that loses a lot of things, this is the perfect device for you. A Tracker is a coin-sized device, locates misplaced keys, wallets, bags, computers, like I said, even pets in seconds. Pair Tracker to your smartphone, you attach it to any item, and you'll find its precise location with the tap of a button on the Tracker. It's that easy. You can customize two-way separation alerts to receive notifications before you forget your item. If you happen to lose your phone, all you have to do is locate the Tracker and tap the button, and your phone is going to ring, even if it happens to be left on silent. Silent was the last state that it was in. This ring is going to overcome that silent setting, and you'll hear it. With over 1.5 million devices, Tracker has the largest crowd GPS network in the world, so your lost item shows up on a map, even if it's miles away. The Tracker app actually records your lost item's last known location on a map, and then when another Tracker user comes within 100-foot range of your item, you're going to get a GPS update of your item's location. And wouldn't you know, your phone can track up to 10 devices at once. You can have all sorts of trackers all over the place tracking things. Tracker is enabled by Bluetooth LE. That's low energy. So that means that the battery is going to last up to 1 year. There are water-resistant cases available for purchase, and that's perfect if you happen to attach this to, say, a pet collar, so it's resistant to all the elements. You can even add a laser-engraved message to each Tracker Bravo. That's handy for, like, return information, or if you happen to put it on your pet's collar, you know, your pet's information, your pet's name, all that kind of stuff. New at Tracker is their custom image printing. As you can see right here, it's all about Android. That's us. There we are.
That's so
on
cool.
Tracker. All the little Android guys.
We're so cute trying them down like that.
We are
not gonna
awesome.
Lie.
We are so awesome, you guys, because we're on Tracker right now. So you can get custom image printing. You can personalize your Tracker with a custom printed image, and it's really easy to do. I mean, it just looks really great. Tracker recently introduced Tracker Atlas, which works with your Tracker Bravo or third-party Bluetooth Tracker. That'll allow you to pinpoint your items on a customizable floor plan of your home. So if you're always leaving your device or whatever it is, you know, under the couch cushions or somewhere in the kitchen, you'll be able to find exactly where it is. You won't need to search. You'll get the answer right away. So the hardest thing that you're ever going to have to do is find the website. Go to thetracker.com, and you'll never lose your possessions again. Plus, just for our audience, if you enter promo code AAA, you're going to get 30% off your entire order. That's thetracker.com, promo code AAA for 30% off your entire Tracker order. And we thank Tracker for their support of All About Android. All right, time to talk about some awesome hardware. We're going to start hardware this week with a little differently. We're going to start it with an email because this is just actually really cool. Lauren from Kantar World Panel Comtech wrote in to say, on your show from July 19th, you mentioned Kantar World Panel and the fact that our May sales data showed that the GS7 was the best-selling phone in the U.S. in that period. As a fan of the show, I was very excited to have what I wrote finally make it to the podcast I listen enthusiastically to. Yay!
Awesome.
Second, to speak more to why the GS7 may have outsold the iPhone, Samsung relied very heavily on promotions from the time the phone was launched, including buy one, get one deals, pairing the VR headset with the phone, which I got one of those, and giving away free TVs with the phone. Besides being a solid product, they also benefited from a strong upgrade cycle from the GS5, which in turn had done well following a strong upgrade cycle from the GS3. As much as carriers would like us to upgrade our phones more often, most consumers are still used to upgrading every 2 years. In the June period, we're showing the iPhone is once again the best-selling phone as promotions begin to slow on the latest Galaxy, which dropped to second. So it goes. So, Lauren, thanks for writing in and letting us know that you know, we talked about your study. I love it when it works out like that. We're like, we talk about something and then, hey, I wrote that. So that's great and excellent extra insight there.
It's also worth noting that everything that she summarized, I feel like you can get a pretty good, this is just me, but I feel like I get a pretty good grasp of what's going on with smartphones based on public transit. Because I noticed that too.
You are like, a transit nuts.
I know, but like the GS5, like I noticed everybody, a lot of people want the GS5, and now I'm seeing people with the GS7, and like basically everything she's saying is like.
But Flo, you're absolutely right. I mean, and Jason, we talked about this earlier today on the Samsung at the Samsung event that we covered with Leo. But I mean, how long ago were we doing Android in the wild? Years ago when we were looking for the Note, when we were looking for the Phablet. You know, I agree with you, Flo, that it's, and you know, I agree with the whole notion that whenever I'm on the subway here in New York or on the bus on the Muni in San Francisco or wherever I am, I'm always looking at what phones people are using because I want to see which ones the average user is buying. So,
right.
I think that's a valid point.
Daniel, from the future where you happen to live, are there any telling like places that you go or ways that you're able to kind of take the, you know, kind of judge what just everybody is using out in the wild?
Yeah, I actually do the same sort of thing when I'm actually in Sydney. I live in Canberra, so I tend to look at what people are using when I'm at work, and that tends to be actually the Galaxy S7 Edge at the moment, the specifically the Edge version that people are going for.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, definitely on public transit. And I've noticed it does sort of differ as you go around the world. I've been lucky enough to go to a few places in the last year, and yeah, in the US you sort of get a different range of phones to what you get in Australia, but that Galaxy S7 Edge just seems to be everywhere. It seems to be the one common factor. I do tend to see a lot of more Nexuses in Australia, specifically in Sydney. But
interesting.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. I see a lot of Nexus 5Xs and 6Ps around, even when I'm not near Google. But that S7 Edge, it's just got that wow factor when you go into a store. So that's certainly one thing that's working in Samsung's favor, I think.
Well, and it's in stores. You know what I mean? Exactly. Samsung's used to having their products featured pretty heavily in the store. Things like Nexus devices, I feel like I hardly ever see those.
But Daniel has a good point. I've been seeing a lot of people with 6Ps and 5Xs on transit world. Like totally random people I would never guess would know like what an... Yes, I'm judging you and I'm sorry. But, you know, people who don't...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, but that judgment is weird, Flo. But I agree with you that I've seen more 5Xs out in the wild in the past couple of months than I have since it came out. And I don't know if that's because all the prices dropped or because there are deals to be had or what the scenario is that caused these people that you're judging to get the phones. I haven't seen as many 6Ps. But that might have something to do with all those refurbs that hit the market as well, too. We can come down to price, maybe. You know, who knows what the market factors are that influence those purchases.
Right.
I'm not judging everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Just you know, everyone who doesn't watch the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I still have this kind of idea in my head of like what like an Android user looks like. I think it's kind of carried over because I've been a part of this world since kind of the beginning. So. You know,
judgy.
Anyway, well,
so why don't we tell people what phone they're going to buy next?
Yeah,
people
let's that aren't judge something else now. Let's judge the Galaxy Note 7, which Samsung revealed today in New York City. This is one of the prettiest prettiest phones I've ever seen. Especially, wow. you may have seen across the different Android sites the blue coral color. It's so beautiful in person.
Yeah.
And that's not a hyperbole.
It looks nice because I didn't really like many of the color options prior. They felt a little too bold, flashy.
Dark black one too. I mean, black is dark, but I mean, it's black on black. It's really sleek. It's futuristic. It looks great. So this year's Galaxy Note 7 has a 5.7-inch Super AMOLED display, quad HD with a curved screen, has the quad-core Snapdragon 820, 4 gigs of RAM, 12-megapixel rear-facing camera, 5-megapixel front-facing camera, 3,500 milliamp battery pack, which is actually a little bit smaller than the Galaxy S7 Edge.
But more than last year's Note.
It's 500 milliamps more than last year's Note. Mm-hmm. We've also got waterproofness on this guy this year. You can dunk him in water. You can also write on it underwater. And so the S Pen is also water resistant. And it's 2 times more pressure sensitive. Although, because I'm not really an artist, I'm just a messy writer. I wasn't, really able to experience the
of that. So you've kind of had your hands on the device, mm-hmm. right, at this point? So that's one question that I have with the S Pen is they made the tip of the S Pen smaller and they added more pressure sensitivity to it. And I think ultimately for a device like this, where you're trying to go is you're trying to be able to mimic to a very large degree the same kind of experience of picking up a pad of paper and like scribbling out a note and not feeling like you have to write in really large letters in order to do it. Did you get a sense of being able to do that on this device versus the last one? Like, is it any better in that regard?
It is. I will say I have very messy penmanship. That's always been a criticism of me since I learned cursive in third grade. And I feel like it's a lot easier. I'm like, do you understand my struggle? Anyway, I feel like it's a lot easier with this year's Note 7. And I have to say, there's a bit of a tactile feedback when you're actually dragging the S Pen across the screen. I don't know if that's just because the way the glass is or the way, the silicone is on the nub. Uh-huh. But it gives you a nice, like, real feeling of writing on something. It's not
like a little bit of friction.
Friction. That's the word I was thinking of. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Friction. It's really nice friction. And unlike, when you have a regular stylus on like a tablet and it's just very like smooth and
A little too glassy.
That actually gives some context to one of the things that the presenter said during the event earlier today, which I didn't quite understand what he meant by. I mean, I understood what he meant by it, but the guy, the VP of product strategy or whatever, who was talking, the middle presenter said that they, with the S Pen, they wanted it to feel more like a pen writing on paper than writing on a device. And this sounds like with this friction, that's how they're doing that. And that's really kind of interesting.
Yeah. Like that.
It is. And they've consolidated some of the apps that are featured in the Air Command, which you bring up by clicking on hovering the S Pen over and clicking on the little button on there. There's a new Translate feature, which is kind of neat. There's, a new animated GIF feature.
Of course.
I saw in the keynote this morning.
Iris scanning.
Ah, yes, the iris
scanning. I want to know
all
about this because this is one of those features that, like, when I heard about it in advance, I was like, this is going to be one of those half-baked, like, things. But it really sounds like, from what you and everybody else is saying, like, it's really fast.
It is really fast. So I managed to convince them to let me register my eyeballs on there and try it myself. And I thought it was way faster than using the fingerprint scanner.
Wow.
Of course, I should let you know that I don't actually like the fingerprint scanner on the Gia and any of the latest Galaxy devices. I just...
With the button on front.
I don't like the button on front. Yeah, I'm very much a rear fingerprint scanning kind of person. That's just more natural to me. Having the iris scanning is great because all you have to do is you don't even have to look at the camera lens. You just look ahead like a blank stare and it unlocks immediately. It's super weird. It's weird in, you know, that like cool futuristic way. Like, oh, that's so cool, did that. And also kind of scary because my phone has like these digital images of my irises.
I was going to say, your eye is logged somewhere. Yeah. How do you feel about that? Daniel, you were up at 1 a.m. this morning because you live in the future and you're still up and it's, what, 10 a.m. your time? So thank you. You're a rock star for doing this show after that craziness. What did you think of what you saw?
I really like it. It's got that real nice Samsung's really come out in the last few years with their own design language, and it's really got that sort of stamp of Samsungness to it. I'm really excited to see what the iris scanner is like. If Flo's saying it's that fast, I really can't wait to have a go at it. It's just one of those things that I too don't like the front-mounted fingerprint sensor. I prefer the rear. So if it's going to be fast and enough to use on a day-to-day basis, that's really exciting, and I can't wait to see it in person, and that we get to sort of see that next week at the launch here in Australia. So, yeah, but in terms of speed and everything like that, looks great. It's got the same sort of camera setup as the Galaxy S7, and that was a fantastic camera. So really, really excited to see what the Note 7 does in terms of the market.
Going back to the iris scanning, I was really impressed by the not only using the iris scanning to unlock the phone, but then to have a secure folder on the device that is only accessible via an iris scan, as well as app usage like browsers and, you know, like a true, you know, kind of a not incognito mode, but a secret mode, you know, where only you can see what's going on in that app is really interesting.
I do have to add, since I'm coming from the bias of a person who doesn't wear glasses, that Samsung has said wearing glasses, depending on your prescription, might not work the same.
Okay.
So that's kind of a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Well, would you just take your glasses off?
Yeah, I think you would just flip your glasses up a little bit and then and then, you know, it unlocks it. But,
yeah, but anyone wearing glasses, if this is a security measure that you know, if this is a security measure that you expect to use all the time using your phone, then you're just not going to use an iris scanner.
Yeah, you might as well just use a fingerprint scanner. But it's cool nonetheless, and especially
it's cool, and it's actually a little bit more secure, I would think, because there are ways to copy and spoof fingerprints
with
fingerprint readers. And well, and they require. I haven't heard about that.
Oh, I'm assuming that's.
Well, the challenge there is that it requires an electrical current, which is what we provide when we use our fingerprints. Right. Not just the outline of the fingerprint, but it's also that electrical charge. So there are ways to kind of like print these things with conductive ink. Talked about it a couple of days ago on TNT. That's what I know. But there are ways to do that and be able to spoof it. But when you're talking your iris and the kind of scanning that's going on here, it's not just hold up a picture of an eye and it's going to work. Like, it's actually scanning the eyeball with special hardware.
It's infrared, essentially. Right. So when I took my impression, I was in black and white and I looked all weird. And
the way
it like scans you. Of course, nobody's made a joke about them wanting to come after our eyeballs now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was only a matter of time.
They're going to come after our fingers with the iPhone, with Touch ID. Now they're going to come after our eyeballs.
They're going to come after everything before we're done with this whole smartphone experiment.
Yes.
Pre-orders tomorrow, right?
Pre-orders start tomorrow. It goes on sale in the U.S. on August 19th. It goes on sale in the U.K. September 2nd. Pricing right now, kind of, it varies based on your carrier. I believe AT&T is somewhere in the high 800s right now. Yeah. So take that in consideration if you're interested. But, I mean, I don't know what else to say, guys. It's a high-end phone with a lot of great stuff packed into it. And I will say, one of the interesting things at the briefing that we had for the Note 7 is when we walked in, they had splayed out, like, every single generation of the Note they had from, you know, beginning to now. And it's interesting how the notes have gotten thinner and smaller over time.
Even though the screens have not shrunk, but just like the surrounding
frame. But, I mean, when we had the 5.3-inch note, it was so, like, fat and bloated and big. And it wasn't, like, something that you could easily put into your pocket. But the Note 7 you can put into your pocket. Like, there's no...
Into your back pocket, Ron.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Men can, because, you know, they stop putting pockets on women's jeans because, you know.
That's a bigger issue. That's a bigger issue.
But anyway, so it's, you know, and I completely agree with Daniel. There's like a beautiful design language that Samsung's implemented. This is one of the most well-balanced phones that I ever held.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see it. Hopefully sometime soon. Gear VR also got a facelift, by the way. Oh, that was one thing that we missed. USB-C. So USB-C is part of the Note 7 now. And the Gear VR, that was always kind of the question. Like, well, Gear VR so far has been USB, not USB-C. Well, now they have a kind of a minor update to the Gear VR.
Yes.
Wider field of view.
Yeah, field of view, 101 degrees.
Yep.
Versus 96, it's slightly bigger, but it's not white anymore, so there's no weird reflection coming off of it there was with the older Gear VR. That's what Samsung said. That's why they changed
it. It's bigger, but it looks sleeker almost, even though it is bigger.
It is sleeker. Yeah. It is sleeker. It doesn't look as bulky. They added a little more padding, make it more comfortable.
Yeah. Cool.
You know.
Jeez.
And it's still got that. It's still got the micro USB attachment as well. So if you want to use it with the older phones, the Note 5, S6 Edge, etc., you can swap it in. So
nice. Yeah, that's solid. Yeah. I did. I hadn't seen how they were going to pull that off. So that looks great. Cool.
All in all, I thought this was a solid day for Samsung, and I said it earlier on the live broadcast, Jason, when we did it. I think Samsung's on a roll, and you know how hard that is for me to actually say that out loud. But Samsung's doing; it seems like they're having a great year. So it's really interesting to see them. You know, the hits keep coming. The presentation went off mainly without a hitch, like just a couple of bad jokes and more Apple digs than I probably would have done.
How many times does Apple dig on Google and Android for being unsafe and riddled with terrible things?
Right, but rise above, Flo.
I know,
rise
you're
above.
Right.
Set the example.
You're right.
Samsung is on a roll. And, you know, what did it? What it, at least in my opinion, is they started listening to what people actually really wanted.
I was just going to say that.
Some of the things that they pushed away, they brought back. They still don't have removable battery necessarily, but, you know, they're making the batteries
bigger. With fast charging?
I don't know. Fast charging actually does alleviate a lot of that. In my own personal preference, I'm happy to have fast charging if there's no removable battery. I think that's a pretty good alternative. But, they're listening to their customers and creating strong devices all around. What's up,
Ben? And it is waterproof, so that's sort of something that you can take away from not having the swappable battery. So, I'm okay with it.
Sure. Excellent. Good stuff.
I feel like everything in Samsung's offices are waterproof now. They're just waterproofing the desks, the staplers. They're just waterproofing everything.
They waterproofed the S Pen. I didn't know that the S Pen wasn't waterproof. They waterproofed it.
It goes inside the S Pen hole where it docks, and you just pour it over, and it just pours out like a pitcher. The water just collects in there. It doesn't penetrate anything. It's completely water resistant.
But you can still put the S Pen in backwards.
You can, and it won't do anything.
It won't click in there.
Apparently, they said that they fixed it so that it's not.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah. So
let's watch Leo put it to the test.
we'll have the Leo test someday soon.
Yeah. Well, so Samsung's not the only company with a new device that's been unveiled. Xiaomi over in China showed off last week the Redmi Pro, which is an entry-level device that's available for about $225. That's 1,499. How do you pronounce that? Yuan? The Chinese currency?
Yuan.
There you go. So this is the first time Xiaomi has used an OLED screen, which is required for Daydream, for the VR support in Daydream. And it's also got dual rear-facing cameras. The full specs are 5.5 inches 1080p OLED display. It's got a fingerprint reader, 5 megapixel front facing camera, 13 megapixel rear facing, 5 megapixel sensor for bokeh effects, over 4,000 milliamp battery, USB-C with fast charging, got the IR blaster, the MediaTek chipset. It's got 32, 64, 128 gigs of storage and 3 or 4 gigs of RAM, dual SIM, micro SD card support, a pretty nice phone. And just to give you an idea of how important this release is to Xiaomi, the Redmi line has just been an enormous hit in China with 110 million devices sold since it launched in 2013. And luckily, Jason in the doc, I assume Jason, this is you, did the math. And that's 1.2 units sold every second for the past 3 years.
No big deal.
So this Xiaomi Redmi Pro is a pretty big release in China. Daniel, can you get Xiaomi phones in Australia, or is it just still my sense of geography just completely skewed?
Yeah, it seems to be one of those things that Redmi, just great phones, but just can't get them here. So
you can't get them there either.
Love to. No, we can sort of gray import them right. through a couple of companies, just like in the US, but unfortunately there's just no warranty. The charges are different, so you just got to get the adapters. I think Xiaomi is still a relatively small company when they talk about themselves, so they don't really want to expand too quickly, and that's one of the reasons they haven't expanded to Australia. We got Oppo here. They sort of expanded to Australia as a test market, so we're hoping Xiaomi might actually expand here first, hopefully.
Yeah. Interesting.
We got our fingers crossed. We'd love to see them. We get all their battery banks here all the time. All of our stores stock them, so we would love to see the phones here.
Yeah, phone's looking good. I mean, it's funny. You've got on one hand the Galaxy Note 7, $850. On the other hand, you've got the Redmi Pro, which, mind you, they're completely different device categories, but $225. Solid, except for, you know, there's ways that you get that price down. MediaTek chipset probably isn't the best chipset in the whole wide world. Anytime I've had a device with MediaTek,
versus a Qualcomm Snapdragon 820.
They're different classes entirely.
Processor, 4 gigs of RAM, and Vulkan API ready. Not that I'm sitting here touting Samsung, but
those are impressive. Do you when you're talking about, and we talked about this a little bit earlier during the live show or during the live event, you know, when you're talking about $850, yes, there are devices that exist now that are in the $400 range that do some crazy things, you know, great hardware, great specs underneath, all this kind of stuff. And then you're asking yourself, well, why would I spend another $400 to get this premium device? And there are certain things that will set it apart. And I think
better
Samsung
camera,
reaches
nicer,
that point.
Yeah, it's true. It's something I've been thinking about too, because when I saw the price points coming out today for the Galaxy Note 7, I was like, $100.
That's expensive.
Yeah, and that's unsubsidized, which is, you know.
Unsubsidized, and yeah.
And even if they sell an unlocked phone, it's like how many people are actually going to buy it unlocked for $800 something dollars.
True. Most people are probably buying
it. I would definitely just be like, Verizon, can you buy it for me?
Yep. All right. Hey, this hasn't happened in a while. Let's check out the other type of hardware section, the wearable one.
You know, I brought my Android Wear watch today, and I'm not wearing it.
I haven't worn mine in months at this point.
I didn't feel like it really vibed with how I felt today.
Oh, okay. It was a no watch day.
It's a no. Yeah, that's how I feel today. It's a no watch day. Yeah. But if you do want to watch and you don't want to spend very much money, there's a $100 Android Wear watch going up on Kickstarter right now. It's called the Tick Watch 2, and it surpassed its goal of $50,000. It's now at $125,000, which is insane. That is how much
$825,000.
That's how much people have spoken in its favor. That's a lot of money. The watch runs on Android, but it's not actually Android Wear. I may have slipped and said that in the beginning, and I apologize for that. But in this case, you know, the Tick Watch 2 is already available in China, and now the Kickstarter campaign is trying to help it spread further across the world. So it does already exist overseas, but if you wanted to exist maybe near you, you can go to Kickstarter, check it out. You know, maybe if you're interested, you can Kickstart it, follow along what's going on. It seems a little more legitimate than other projects, especially since this is something that exists. So it seems like Tick Watch is just trying to do the Pebble method of selling things. Hey, we have inventory. How many should we actually get? Please let us know, and that sort of thing. So you can at least rely on that if you're interested in the watch.
Yeah, it's once again the migration of Kickstarter as a funding platform to a pre-order platform. You know, the product already exists. They just need to know what the demand is so they can do the manufacturing, and that is almost a safer bet if you're thinking about plunking down your money for it. Clearly they met their goal, so that's not going to be a problem. But the pre-order is just a much, you know, with an established company that already has the supply chain figured out. It's a safe way to spend money.
And I'm sure that Kickstarter is happy with that, because this is one project that they know is going to be funded or going to be fulfilled. That's a problem that they have repeatedly. So.
Well, so apparently this is the most interactive smartwatch that you can buy. As I'm just sort of perusing through the Kickstarter page, it has voice interaction, touch control, and a gesture called Tickle, which makes me giggle a little bit. And Tickle, what it does is you can, from what the animation shows, you can use the side of the chassis, of the watch chassis, to scroll through the interface, which is kind of neat. There's also a flip and knock gesture, which you flip the watch over on your wrist as you would knock it, and that way you can answer and hang up on people, activate voice search, or whatever it is that you want to set it up to do. But I'm curious, you know, so does this run all of Android Wear's available applications?
Yeah, I believe that I saw in there that it does have Android Wear app capability.
Yeah, I mean, they show icons that don't come as a part of Google, of Android Wear, though. So, I don't know.
Mostly compatible. So, write apps for Tickware. You can write your own apps. Tickware provides an open API, mostly compatible with Android Wear API.
Mostly compatible,
yeah,
y'all.
So that's, that's.
But
not
they do want you to know that they have an Uber app, because for some reason there's still not an Uber app on Android Wear, which I'm very like, I'm very concerned about that.
It's very strange.
Because I want to. This is terrible of me, but I would like to set it as my default, or at least Flywheel. But neither of those are available to set as the default. You know, like pick me up.
Right.
Command on Android Wear.
Kind of strange that there is none.
Well, Lyft has one, right? Why don't you
Lyft does
Lyft?
Have one.
Well, yeah. So there you go.
It's hard to, you know.
Do I see you have a Lyft bias that I'm not aware of?
No, I just have never used it. I'm just afraid to.
Well, so if you've been waiting for Uber to release one, why don't you just try the Lyft one?
Right. And well, no, never mind. You're not on T-Mobile. I was going to say T-Mobile Tuesdays. They keep giving like these free like Lyft dollars.
Yeah,
just try it out.
I know
you can't.
They
you
keep
can't
offering
because
me
you're in your relationship
money.
With Verizon, and we'll all just be quiet about that.
Yeah, Verizon's just going to send me a wheelbarrow or something to cart around for them, so their service is better. That's how it's so great. They just have people carting around wheelbarrows for them. Anyway. If you're interested, Kickstarter. It's the Tick Watch,
TIC,
like a Tic Tac Watch 2, made in China.
Or the TikTok like a clock.
TikTok like
that
a
That also.
Clock.
Yeah. The least expensive that you can get it now, because the early backer levels are done, is $140. So normal retail price is going to be $200. The early backers were able to get it for $100. Now it's at 140, which still for, you know, a new wearable. I don't know. So I guess this begs the question before we move into apps. Is the wearables trend totally died down at this point? I feel like all of the air has been removed from the wearables thing that was happening like even a year ago.
What do you think, Daniel?
Well, I think the Tick Watch has got a lot going for it. I mean, Movvo is the company who's behind it, and Google actually partnered with them Motorola did for the Moto 360 launch in China. So they've got sort of an idea of what they're doing there. And in terms of wearables as a whole, I mean, we've got some coming up later this year. I mean, we've got the Nixon Mission and the Michael Kors watch coming up, plus whatever Google's going to do, is rumored to do. I mean, I've been wearing my Android Wear watch since I got one. I've got several now. I generally just use them as a step tracker and maybe notifications. That's basically about it. I mean,
yeah.
I really want to see some sort of innovation as to what it's going to do. I really am into fitness, and so I want to see what the Android Wear 2.0 stuff sort of brings when it launches. So if that sort of thing is going to improve it, I'm really into it. But I think for the mainstream people, it's really going to have something, some sort of headline feature that really pushes it. That's really what they're waiting for. So
yeah,
it's just that. Really,
how do they sell people on the Apple Watch then? Is it just because it's Apple?
But I mean, has the Apple Watch? I mean, I think that's a big reason behind it, but I mean, even the Apple Watch, I mean, is it doing?
No, I know. No. I know what you're saying, but I'm speaking sort of what I've seen in my life is just a lot more people. I mean, I see kids wearing Apple Watches.
Well, yeah, because I bet you they came out. If they come out with Apple sweatpants, people will buy them.
That's true.
Like if you look at the brand loyalty index, there is a large number of people who exhibit sheep-like tendencies when it comes to Apple products. And, you know, and so they spent all this time hyping up the watch. And when it came out, people were like, I absolutely need it. Talk to any of those people who say, can you live without that? I haven't found one person who said, yes, it's changed my life. It's not, you know, everyone keeps looking to Apple to change the world like they did with the iPhone. And that's a really hard thing to live up to. And I think that Apple is suffering from the same challenges that Android Wear has in terms of wearables, and that mm-hmm. wearables are a solution without a terribly big problem to solve. You know, it's like, it's a very big nice to have. And if anything, it shows, you know, look at how many Apple announcements have we had since the watch come out? Have we seen any major dramatic upgrades to the OS, to the devices, to anything? No, they released it and forgot about it. So it's the new Apple TV, in fact. So,
ooh, that's a controversial opinion.
Yeah. It's a hobbyist.
Harsh.
Yeah, it's true, though. I think it's true.
I mean, there was Watch OS 2, which they announced, I think, back in June or
WWDC.
No, it was WWDC.
Yeah, which means so, I mean, it's
they
not
have
out
an update
yet,
to
right?
the platform.
Did you hear about that? Did that change anything? Did that make anybody want to go buy more watches?
I don't know. I guess it's hard to say.
I like my Android Wear watch sometimes. I will say the mode watch bands. Oh, well, see, I put the charger by my desk and or by my nightstand, and the mode watch bands kind of help me now, like, want to wear it because it's, like, pairing it with my outfits.
Oh, okay.
So all right. It's become a part of my daily accessory.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Wearables. Let's talk about some apps. Yeah. Sorry, Josh.
All right, well, this is some dramatic apps discussion that we're going to have right now, because I know a hot button topic amongst us is the app draw, or the app drawer, as some of you like to say. But our friends over at Android Police have they're pretty certain about this post that they put up that says we're going to see a huge change to the Nexus launcher with the unannounced, yet to come Nexus devices, that the app drawer button is going away, but the app drawer itself will still exist. But it's not, you know, summoned by the button that we're used to. Instead, it will slide up from the bottom. Interesting.
Okay.
A sliding app drawer. And additionally, the Google search bar at the top of the launcher is going away, and it's going to be replaced by a simple calendar widget with the date that you cannot remove, and a G button that can be tapped to access an updated search app that will probably include a number of assistant features whenever it's ready, similar to Google Now and things like that. So pretty dramatic changes to the interface of the Nexus devices once Nougat comes out, and once the Nexus devices roll out, if this is to be believed. But actually, building on top of this, we have some breaking news.
That's right. We have some breaking news.
Yes?
Prancing Nougat in the meadow sings a song of satisfaction too.
Nice.
Wow.
I love our new breaking news reel.
There wasn't a whole lot to choose from. I ain't going to lie. There aren't a whole lot of Nougat songs out there. So I had to go with Prancing Nougat in the meadow.
Can we see it again?
Sure. Let's see it again. Breaking news.
Prancing Nougat in the meadow sings a song of satisfaction too.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb, and our last bumper was pretty out there.
Yeah.
But I actually like this one a little better because it's a little more emotional. It's a little more folksy. Like, I like it. It's mature.
It is definitely folksy.
We have matured.
We're classing it up in this piece.
Exactly.
So get used to that breaking news bumper for the next year.
Yeah. Well, whether or not this is actually worthy of the breaking news or not, I'll let you decide. Excuse to run the bumper.
Yeah, pretty much.
Android Police further followed up on the story about the app drawer going away with the news that the fingerprint scanner, the swiping fingerprint scanner, will be used to open the notification shade on the Nexus devices. So the fingerprint scanner will become a way to swipe for notifications using the sensor on the back of your phone. So another interesting hardware-based interface aspect of the new Nexuses. So Daniel, do you think these are legit? Do you believe Android Police on their sources? Or
Oh, yeah. They've got some pretty good sources. So I'm very much thinking this is definitely going to be coming. So I like it. I just hope that we're going to see it on available to other devices with a fingerprint scanner. I hope it's not actually like a Nexus-specific thing. So if you get, say, a Huawei P9 or something like that with a rear fingerprint scanner, hopefully you can use it. I think it's a great idea.
Well, so and the app drawer has been a hot button topic here on the show where we've argued whether or not an app drawer is needed or not. Jason and Flo, do you think that this is the compromise between those two positions that we didn't think of?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about it. I'm sorry.
From a design standpoint, you just like the look of it.
Yeah, I'm just extremely okay, guys. This is why I love being an Android user. Like what we just saw, kind of popping up on Android Police. That is what makes me love being an Android user. All those changes I absolutely agree with. And I'm just thinking about, my gosh, this is just going to be great just to have that little like Google tab at the top. Like it's just the perfect little way to kind of just like come in and say, hey, I'm here when you need me. You know, it's the perfect little swipe, swipe gesture.
Perfect
little compromise between now you can have that extra space in the dock. But then you can also swipe up to have all your apps sort of hidden away, so I don't have to have everything on the home screen. I'm so excited.
And
for
you get
this.
you get an extra space in the launcher now. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I mean the app drawer isn't going away, so I don't know. I feel like it's kind of the same thing. It's just a new way to get to it. You know,
the only thing is it going to be too hard for newer users to work out where their apps are now? So is it going to be an intuitive enough design thing to actually put that to them? So,
well, if it's then they'll refine it in the next version of Android. I mean,
I think it's about as intuitive as ever. If you ever looked at the screen and you'd never looked at it and you saw that little icon of dots on it, your mind, unless you were trained to some degree, would not know that gets you to all of your apps. And what you actually get here is a little bit of instruction. You get a little upward arrow. So your eye kind of goes to that and goes, oh, well, I need to move that up. So I actually think it might be a little bit more intuitive from that regard.
And you can do it with one hand. Sorry.
I was just going to say, Josh, you better ready that breaking news bumper because I think we have actually legitimate breaking news here. So go ahead. Why not? Third time.
Nougat in the meadow sings a song of satisfaction.
Yes. Yes. Basically, just that 9 to 5 Google has an article that the Nexus launcher is leaked. The APK can be downloaded. You can install this right now.
What are we doing the show right now? We need to go install this APK.
There is a little bit of a trickiness, though. Some of the features don't work, and that actually makes a lot of sense, right? Because if this is revolving around some of the new assistant features, some of the things that are baked in that we have not seen from like a kind of a back end support sort of level, then if this launcher is tailor made to work with that, of course those things aren't going to work. So you can't swipe to get to the Google Now the way you will in the final version, which I think kind of hints to the fact that maybe Google Now is in the whole assistant switch is going to change to some degree. We just don't have that right now. So there's a few things. Attempting to choose a wallpaper within the app causes the entire app to crash. Don't know what that's all about. But, hey, it's a leaked APK. If you really want to check it out for yourself and see what the launcher is, at least this lends credence to the rumor. It exists, and we're probably going to see it. So that's real breaking news, right? That qualifies. The other one might have been makeshift breaking news, but
how does that leak out like that? I mean, I guess it's Google distributing it to OEMs and then someone at I can't imagine someone at Google posted it. Right?
Well,
how does that happen?
Well, I don't know who the leak comes from, but when you're talking about like Android Police and sources, for example, this is total guessing.
Yeah.
But Android Police has excellent sources time and time again. You know, they even give a confidence level, right? In some of these, they actually end up with the APK. But they don't distribute. So that APK has gone from one hand to another for whatever reason. Who knows who it came from or why? But, who's to say that APK also didn't go to another hand and it leaked out?
This community is so fun. It's so fun. There's always little surprises around every corner.
Yes, and we've got a breaking news bumper for all of those surprises.
Yeah, but if you are going to download APK, just, of course, be careful what you're downloading. Don't download anything fake. And, of course, use discretion. If you break your phone, it's very possible, you could break your phone.
Yeah.
Who knows?
in general, I would say APK Mirror is a fine source for this sort of stuff. It's actually run by the folks at Android Police, and they vet it very, very thoroughly. So if you're going to do that, you know, check it out. That's the one place that I trust personally and do this through. I don't do it very often, but if I do, APK Mirror. We have friends at SwiftKey. We've had Joe Braidwood on the show many times in the past. Unfortunately, our friends at SwiftKey saw a bit of bad news over the weekend. Users complained of receiving predictions inside the keyboard that never originated from their own usage. In some cases, users were receiving predictions that would reveal things like personalized email addresses and phone numbers and who knows what else. Well, a lot of language that they say I never would have used those words. SwiftKey disabled Cloud Sync so that they could work on the problem. So there would be, you know, no backing up to the cloud, that sort of stuff. And reiterated that user security, they say, hasn't been compromised. Although I'd say that kind of depends on how sensitive you feel, you know, email address leakage into suggestions is. SwiftKey did say it only affected a small number of users, so they're working on it. So if this happened to you, they're going to correct the problem and all that. I don't know. Kind of stuff happens, I guess. I don't know. Is this a big deal?
I don't even use SwiftKey.
You know, I haven't used SwiftKey in a while, I'll be honest.
I use SwiftKey, and they actually are a developer of my app in the arena, so I'm going to say, let's give them a break on this
one. Yeah. Let's move them along.
I think this sort of thing happens, and it stinks, and they do what they can, but I mean, think of how many times have you changed your Dropbox password or your LinkedIn password or your, you know, the rattling them all off of how many passwords have been, you know, of this sort of thing has happened. It's always, I thought this is a unique kind of problem that emerged. But it looks like they're on top of it. And we know Joe, we know, you know, other folks at SwiftKey, and, you know, even with Microsoft acquiring them, they've stayed pretty independent, and they haven't been really swallowed up by the big MS. I think this is just kind of, this is growing pains, and sometimes this stuff happens.
Yeah, sometimes it happens.
I love that we call them the big MS now.
That's Microsoft. Back in February, acquired SwiftKey. Anyways, family library.
Family libraries. If you've got a family.
I do.
Like Jason has a family. Now you can have you can easily share your library with a lot of them. So Google finally rolled out the Google Play Family Library, which gives families the ability to share apps, movies, and TV show with each other for absolutely gratis. Each user must be opted into the service, and a family manager is required to manage the sharing, which you will probably want to set up, especially if you have little ones, want to make sure they're watching the right content and that sort of thing. Have you used this, Jason?
I have not used it to... I was trying to find something to show, but I can't find it. I have signed up to be the family manager. I've invited my wife. She has not signed... You know, like, I've started it, but I haven't finished it. I don't know. I mean, I plan on using it. I just haven't yet. It's cool. It's nice because, you know, up to five, that totally covers our family. And we've bought a lot of movies through Google Play over the last few years. So I'm hoping that that shares seamlessly across. With apps, like, you kind of have to start from square one unless developers specifically go in and make those changes. So I don't know how much it helps me on some of the apps that I've bought in the past, if those will ever get kind of brought into it. But yeah, I think it's a good feature, especially for free. Why not?
Yeah.
What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, it's great. We actually got it first day, like some other Google features. We got it here in Australia, so we were pretty excited about it. There was a little bit of controversy from some of our readers in regards to people who use carrier billing and PayPal to buy their apps rather than actually having a credit card on file, because you do need a credit card or debit card to actually activate it as a family manager, the payment method. But once they were over that, it's pretty much all just turn on the switch if you want to do it manually, or you can choose to automatically share all your apps. I mean, all of our great apps like Pocket Cast and stuff like that are all ready to go. I think the older version of Action Launch is also in there as well, just to sort of name a few off the top of my head. And yeah, so there is the controversy with having some apps before the 2nd of July not quite ready to go if the developer has chosen not to flick that switch, but... If you find an app like that, email the developer, see what you can do. That's basically my recommendation. Yeah. But love it. I was actually able to, my wife bought Harry Potter, the new Harry Potter book the other day, and we were both able to sort of load it up and share it, which was fantastic.
So you guys had your own, like, individual page markings, like nobody is, you know, crossing over each other's point in the book.
No, no, you actually read it independently. And I was actually quite surprised you could read the book. I thought it would be something like a library where one person takes it out and the other people can't read it. But no, we were actually both able to load it up at the same time.
Oh, that's so super neat. Although J.K. Rowling might appreciate it if you buy another copy.
Well, that's one of my questions, right? It's like, I understand, like, I have a family, so I totally understand the need for this. But, I mean, are content makers, developers, are they at all affected? Are they upset at all?
I think this has got to be – I mean, I've got some experience with this with my work in publishing, with this kind of, desire to make a Netflix for book reading and all this sort of stuff. And it just – the business deal behind the scenes changes, where as opposed to just from a straight purchase model, they are keeping track of the number of opens or reads or accessing and then figuring out what the content maker gets from that. So there, I've got to imagine that Google is doing has created a method to monetize these pieces of content and stuff like that for the people who make it. I mean, it's going to be fractions of pennies, because you're, as opposed to, $10 for a book, you're getting a couple of pennies for a chapter that's read or whatnot. But in the aggregate, it's going to add up. But, it's extremely, extremely complicated.
Fascinating. Yeah. Okay. Well, one of these days I'm going to complete setup on it, and I will let you know how it goes. But yeah.
Can't wait to hear about it. So,
all right, Ron, you got an email.
Yes, we got an email from another mysterious R who wrote in, who says, regarding a listener who called into episode 276 about the OK Google suddenly no longer responding to voice commands, but then spontaneously working after a reset. A few thoughts, because this has happened with me at times. It seems that some system updates turn off the setting for Google Now to respond to voice commands. Interesting. In Google Now on the hamburger menu, then voice, there are the options that I've included in a screen capture with this message. I don't think we have the screen capture.
Oh, yeah, I missed that. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Anyway, so he captured this message. The second option from the top is OK Google Detection. One of my updates turned this off once, and I stumbled across the setting and turned it back on. The OK Google Voice Detection has three options. From the Google app, always on, and trusted voice. I have all three set to on. Hope that will help others in the future. Keep up the great work. So there you go. Looks like oftentimes I wonder about this, if there are settings deep within an app that get either reset or changed due to a system update or an app update or something like that, and you just never know, and things don't work quite the same way, you might want to go, hit that hamburger menu and look at the settings and make sure everything lines up with how you want your app to work.
Yeah, because sometimes these things just kind of get switched.
Yep. So good advice, R. Thank you for emailing in. And everyone else, you can email in. We'd love to hear from you. Email at AAA@twit.tv.
That is right. Man, we get a lot of emails, and I wish we had the bandwidth and time to reply to all of them. Instead, we pick the more interesting kind of wide-reaching ones for the show. So I'm sorry if so many of you email and you never hear anything, and I apologize about that. We read them. We absolutely read every single one. Yep. I wish when we first started this show, I actually remember I'm like, I'm going to reply to every single email that comes through, and then at some point, I mean, it's out of hand, man, because it's not just like these quick questions. It's like, I've got this specific device and this specific thing happened and I've tried all of these things. Can you find out what I need to do to fix it? It's like, man, I don't know. I could spend all day doing that. So I apologize if you don't get a response, but keep trying and we'll get you in the show. That's what we'll do. All right. So what do you say we review some apps in the arena?
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Let's see here. Last week we had three apps. It was just the three of us. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time, the three of us.
We had a great time. Yep. We always have a great time together.
It's true. Prisma, of course, wins 60% of the vote, so that's Flo's victory. Battery Go, second place at 25%, and Boilit, third place at 16%. Not many people were impressed by a timer.
I was actually very surprised that Prisma beat out Battery Go. I thought Battery Go was way more useful than Prisma, but thank you.
Nah, I think they both have their time and place. Yeah. All right, so let's see here. So my app, I have to thank Tony Wang here at Twit. for showing me this app, which honestly, it has a lot of things that it does. It's called Lumyer, L-U-M-Y-E-R. It has a lot of things that it does, but there's only really a couple of things that I would ever use it for. It is a selfie app, right? It's based around kind of selfies and stuff. But check this out. You can take a selfie and then you can throw animated hair on
people. Oh my god.
You can put animated hair on people. This thing's kind of creepy. Really quite sure what's going on here, but I found this stored away and it frightened me, and that's my face. So this is a picture, right? It's a still solid picture. It's not moving, whatever. You get all these little overlays that you can drop on top of what you are seeing. Look, a cat on my shoulder. It's totally silly. So let's see here. I'm gonna go around. Sorry, I'm gonna use you as my suspect or my victim. There we go. All right. Yes, waiting. Bright. Waiting. Yeah, that was bright. Sorry about the flash there. So you got down the bottom here, I have all of these different effects folders. I can actually go into the effects button and download all sorts of different packs.
Oh,
they're all free and everything. You know, roller coaster, horror, Tokyo Train, paparazzi, different things, right? Apparently I need to update fun. I'll go ahead and update that.
and basically, update that fun.
I know. So face is the fun one, right? Like I can go ahead and give you glasses, or I can go ahead and give you, it's really stupid.
Looks like a jib. I look like a jib jab video.
There we go. Do it. Yeah. But really, the thing that I even wanted to get this in the first place was the flowing hair, because
amazing.
For whatever reason, it's just awesome. You can take the strangest things and put flowing hair on them, and it's just kind of fun. I don't know. This is a good one. See, it's almost as if that's your actual hair.
Where's the Michael Bolton song to play while this is happening right now?
Your hair is flowing, Flo. Your hair is totally flowing. It's pretty stupid.
I will say it's a lot more refined than Snapchat.
Here,
okay. It looks like, I don't know, it's pretty convincing. Oh, did you put little googly eyes on?
You know, and then it's got a lot of these. So basically what it's doing is you end up creating this, and then it creates kind of a looping, an animated GIF, I believe, that you can post on social and everything.
Amazing.
Like that. And, lightsaber action, explosions, all sorts of stupid stuff.
Jeez, rain on my parade.
Yeah, here, we'll go ahead and rain on Daniel's parade
instead. Aww.
And, of course, a floating butterfly through the screen.
You know, I'm actually deathly afraid of butterflies.
Oh, no. Well, then I better make it larger so it's like you're being attacked. Is this going to change the world? No. But it might make you just a little bit happier on a daily basis, primarily because there's hair that you can put on people. And it's called Lumyer. It's free. There's $1.99 to remove the watermark. Lumyer photo and selfie editor. There's a ton of filters in here that I haven't downloaded worked with. So, hey, you know, go nuts. Find something that'll totally creep you out, like this little eye overlay that I...
I can do your eyebrows like that for you.
Really?
If you ever need...
Oh, man, I've wondered that. And yes, I do. I'll go ahead and save that because that's perfect. And saves it up.
I love that there's a whole category of apps that are like Jason... Face modification things. Apps. Yeah, exactly. Like,
I was just thinking that.
Why do I love these so much? What is it? What is it about these apps that I enjoy so much? But they, I love
let
them.
You express yourself in another way.
I guess so. I don't know.
Jason creepy face mod app.
Yes.
You should find your developer to make you your own creepy face. Right.
Yes, my own tailor made. All right, so there you go. Lumyer. If you aren't already sick of seeing my weird face modification apps, there you go. Yep. That's one more for the ages. All right, Ron, you're up next, and I have it installed.
Okay, yeah. So, like I mentioned earlier, the good folks at SwiftKey, who make the keyboard that I actually use, have entered the emoji keyboard market with SwiftMoji, an emoji keyboard. And now this isn't something that's terribly new or, you know, groundbreaking, but I will give them credit that this is the best implementation of a keyboard that enables in-depth emoji usage. What Jason's there doing is he's enabling the keyboard, as you need to do with any keyboard. You need to activate it and then choose it. And then actually, Jason, there's if you open the app, there's in the settings, there should be a test mode I see the bottom where you can see the keyboard, the bottom right, the action button. Yeah, so that brings up the keyboard there. So basically what Swiftmoji does is that it's got all of the inner workings of SwiftKey. So it works in a swipe mode. Nice, Jason. Way to go.
Well, you know.
For those audio listeners, Jason, the first word he typed in was poop to find the poop emoji. It's got the swipe method of SwiftKey that works where you just kind of you kind of move around and connect letters, which might be a setting. Or Jason, can you do that? Can you swipe and does it work? Or you have that setting turned off? Yeah, there you go. So what it does is that you just type like any of the keyboard. It does the word recommendations. But then there's actually another bar above the word recommendations that has suggested emojis. And now here's the thing, you know, much like Snapchat and other millennial-esque things, emojis have become a part of our lexicon, whether we like it or not. A couple of years ago, I rolled my eyes at them, but I find myself using them. Sometimes it's a great way to illustrate your point. But I have found in the past that as you're typing something or someone types something to you, and let's say you're in a group text and you're scrambling to be the first person to write the perfect emoji, I can't tell you the number of times I've scrolled through all of those screens to try to find the hot fudge sundae emoji or the pizza. Slice of pizza or the fireworks explosion. But Swiftmoji, what it does, like for example, today I texted someone, I said I was going to pick up my niece at soccer practice and I typed soccer and the first emoji that came up was a soccer ball, which I thought was really, you see, there it is. So just there. So it makes it incredibly fast and easy to use emojis in your typing. And it's just really, really elegant there. Jason showing in the app on the top bar, you see the suggested emojis. There's a plus button to the right of it. And that expands to even more suggestions. And then you can start scrolling through, the different menus of the different collections of types of emojis, whether they're faces or food or whatnot. So the thing is that Swiftmoji isn't cutesy and like, you know, it's not, you know, playing up the cutesy angle of emoji. It's just acknowledging the fact that there are a lot of these icons that exist and sometimes it's hard to find them. What SwiftKey has done is paired in their text prediction engine with matching it to the emoji of either the word or the sentiment that you're trying to get across. And I've been using this since it came out and it's been spot on nearly every time and to the point where I think I'm using more emojis and I'm turning into a teenager. So there you go. Whether that's a good thing or not, who knows? But Swiftmoji from SwiftKey, owned by Microsoft. I did not see any email addresses when using this, so I think it's safe. And it's free in the Google Play Store. So check it out.
Fantastic. Swiftmoji emoji keyboard. I was having a really hard time like with my brain trying to think of words that I could type that would conjure up an actual emoji.
So you went with poop.
Well, that's the easy one. That's the no-brainer one.
Yeah.
That's my go-to.
There's so many. Even like directional. Like if you type in directional words, they'll like right. It'll give you a right arrow or whatever.
Okay. All right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got a pointy finger and other things.
Oh, a pointy finger. Uh-huh. That's stern.
Night. Ah, there we go. Nighttime.
Yeah, okay. See? Yeah, it's pretty good.
Excellent. Yeah. Was my head blocking it the whole time?
No, you were fine.
Not the whole time, just some of it.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. I will try not to do that with Daniel's app, which is actually a game, or it's a way of life. Tell us about it later.
My game is from an Australian developer called the Voxel Agents. It's actually a sequel to Train Conductor USA. They've released a new version called Train Conductor World, which is actually based in Europe. They've taken the whole idea of getting tracks of trains, and you basically got to tell each train where to go and swap tracks and get them from one side of the screen to the other without actually hitting each other. It's got a sort of updated graphics engine, so it's now a little bit more 3D and sort of a little bit more fun. The first stage, there's three stages on each level, so each first stage is quite easy to do. You sort of get one train at a time, and then as you start getting up into the second and third level, they start throwing trains at you from every angle, both sides. You've then got to wait and get them through. And they start appearing at a very fast rate. So as you get trains across, you'll collect a star. And the more stars you get, the more points you get and things like that. So you basically just got to get them all over the screen. It's a pay-to-play sort of an app. So you can actually get upgrades. And your whole idea is you actually link all the trains in or the actual cities in Europe. So eventually you get a whole network throughout Europe. you've got different terrain as well, so you may get, say, a wooden track that doesn't go over like a rocky road or through a forest. But it's just one of those games you can dip in and out of really quickly. I haven't actually spent any money in it. I just sort of tend to get in every day and sort of play once. And there's once you link up a port city, it'll actually generate coins for you. And that just every 2.5 hours on one of them, 7 hours on another, it'll sort of just give you a whole dump of coins. And once you get to a certain level, you'll get a free piece of track, and then you can just link more cities and go from there. But just a really sort of fun game that you can play when you're sort of waiting somewhere, and it's not something that takes an hour or something to do. You can literally have a 30 second to a minute game and then go from there.
I didn't get to it in time. Oh wait a minute, I did.
You got it.
I did make it.
You gotta stop that red brain.
That's cool. I like this. I've never heard of this game before.
Really cool game. It came out on iOS in March, and I've sort of been watching it since then, really hoping it was coming to Android, and they sort of said, yes, we're definitely building Android, and it finally arrived about a week or two ago, and I've just been playing it nonstop. It's just become one of those nonstop games that my son now steals my phone to play the train game, he calls it. So, yeah, four-year-olds love it.
Nice. And you will too, Train Conductor World. Excellent. I'm going to keep that installed and play that. Flo, you are up next.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's really hard to find a watch face that just pairs really nicely with the outfit you're wearing that day. So, thankfully, there's an app out there to help you with that. This one is called Glow, and it's by Stephanie Carls. She actually runs a blog called My Savvy Life, a YouTube page, I should say. And I found out about her through a mutual pal on Twitter. And when I saw this app, I was just, it's actually a pretty simple app, but I love it for the sheer fact that it helps me get dressed in the morning and then I can have this watch matching what I'm wearing. So I'm going to demo it for you right now. So there is the app. Now you can choose from a bunch of pre-made gradients, you know, nice, pretty ones, very nice and vibrant. Or what you could do is select this one, this option right here. Change around the camera to face you. Snap a picture.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Save the picture. It doesn't actually save the picture to your hard drive or phone that doesn't have an actual hard drive. And then it gives you like the different color options. I'm going to actually turn up the brightness on this so you can see it a little bit better. It gives you a bunch of different color options. So today I'm wearing a blue cardigan with a black and white tank top. And so it gave me different options of blue to pair with my outfit. So I'm going to choose this, like, I'm going to do just a nice blue all around. Save it. Choose it. You could choose light or dark text based on the color scheme. Come out of it.
Does it do a good job?
And then
of
your
matching?
Watch. Like, is, yeah.
Does the tone match pretty well?
It
too?
Does, because it will look directly at what you're wearing. It doesn't really take your environment around you.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It's a very simple little watch face. But, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, the mode watch bands, I now like swap them in and out. Mm-hmm. So I have a couple of different bands for this guy. And depending on what I'm wearing, you know, and I like to have everything coordinated. I'm one of those people who just likes to be really coordinated. I thought this was really fun, cute little way to do watch faces. And you'll support an indie developer. So
sweet.
Glow by Stephanie Carls.
Yeah, and that's important. Glow by Stephanie Carls. There are a lot of Glow apps in the Play Store. So
there are. Glow by Stephanie Carls. It was kind of hard to find this one, actually.
Do that, you're going to find it. Excellent. Dudes, you need to sync your watch to your clothes, too. So don't just pass that off.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
Everybody needs to coordinate, right?
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. We all do.
I mean, if you look at all the different Android Wear watches, there's so many different, you know, varieties and shapes and styles. And I know that you're going out there and finding the watch that matches you the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Flo's helping you get stylish.
And it works on square and round watch faces.
Fantastic. All right, go to bit.ly/AAAshow277 to place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Lumiere? Is it Swiftmoji? Is it Train Conductor World? Or Glow by Stephanie Carls? Place your vote. We'll check in on it next week to see who the big winner and who the big loser is loser's probably going to be me because it has been lately. My lead has been chipped away week after week, whatever. Sorry. I just wanted to make it really awkward in here.
That was really dramatic. That was great.
That's it. I think we've talked about all the things that's worth talking about in the Android world today. Have we missed anything?
Well, I mean, there's always plenty of other subjects we can bring up, you know.
But I think we've done all right. Time-wise, I think we're good.
Oh, yeah.
Content-wise, I know that we touched on everything we needed to touch on.
We did.
Awesome people-wise, we're good. We got Daniel Tyson, who joined us today from OzDroid.net. Thank you so much, Daniel. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I always enjoy being on anytime. I really enjoy talking to you guys. It's always good to meet you when I'm at events, and even better to talk to you on the show. And yeah,
absolutely. We'll get you back soon. Tell people what you really want them to know as far as like the work you're doing at OzDroid, where they can follow your work, all that kind of stuff.
Well, all the stuff is going to be on OzDroid.net. We've got Twitter, Facebook, all that sort of stuff. We're really going to be hitting the Note 7 as it comes up in the next week. So we're going to be getting all the carrier sort of plans and stuff like that. Hopefully get a review up pretty soon. So that's going to be the next week or two of my life.
Excellent. OzDroid.net to follow all of that. Thanks again, Daniel.
No worries at all. Always a pleasure.
All right. And Flo, what about you?
Well, I'm just kind of hunkering down, waiting for Android N to hit. Nugget, I still am calling an Android N.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's hard to break that, yeah.
Yeah, so you can follow all my coverage at PCWorld.com, Greenbot.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter at OhThatFlow and on Snapchat at the same handle. I'll be updating you guys on whatever is going on in the Android world. It's going to start getting hot again.
Excellent.
Now the Note 7's here.
Yes. So. The volume has been turned up.
Yeah.
What about you, Ron?
Well, the volume is turned up, which is good because the heat has finally died down in New York. It's manageable again, which means that I've got to get to work because August is going to be a very busy month for me. I've got a couple of new podcasts are coming down the pipeline. So be sure to follow me on twitter.com/RonXO. You can see all the new hotness that's coming out. And as always, keep watching All About Android. And also, if you're into comic books, check out ifanboy.com, where every week we are reviewing the latest in comics and comics movies. And in fact, up next is Suicide Squad, which is opening this weekend, which should be a very amusing movie to discuss, and that podcast will be out next week. And yeah, we just launched the iFanboy Patreon, and we're about to hit our third goal in less than 2 weeks, which is crazy.
Nice.
So very well.
Hey,
very
Ron.
Well. Love the podcast thing. So yeah.
You get that. You're doing good, man.
Get it, girl.
What about you, Josh?
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
How's it going?
You.
Well, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at the Mac and Josh.
Mm-hmm.
There, also on Instagram, I guess I'm there too. If you like birds, I almost exclusively post pictures of birds. So
it's your niche.
I've never mentioned that before, I guess, on this show. So you can do that.
Okay, do that. Find Josh on Instagram, or just find him on the Twitter. The
Mac and Josh. Twitter's good. You know, mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's cool. Still, I guess that's still what people give out, right?
Yeah, that's what the kids are into these days. Kids are really into the Twitters.
I hear
I don't know what the children are into anymore. I'm officially reached that age where I have no idea.
Pretty much.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, me too. So. I just reached that age, so just. Yep.
You're older than me.
I'm kidding.
Lucky.
You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. And, you know, check out this show week after week. You're already subscribed to it, I hope. You should be. But leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email or a video mail. Don't forget, we love the video mails. We didn't get one this week. AAA@twit.tv. Find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit at twitaaa.reddit.com for story ideas for the show. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. That's where you can get the subscribe information and all that. So definitely go there and subscribe. Also find our stuff on YouTube, iTunes, and all over the map. And catch us live every Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.